know where the truth is.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you in it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back without you.
The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and chill, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Hey there, Marcus Dash here from Chief Concerns. Just want to comment and say BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for football, baseball, boxing, golf, and much more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm Marcus Dash. JD will be joining us shortly. I just wanted to get on chat with everybody. I see everyone. Some of the normal faces are in the chat tonight. So yeah, we got a lot of good stuff, going on, tonight on the show. We're gonna be talking about, the pressers from, a few days ago, or I think yesterday, I believe, Andy Reid talks about, Kadarius Toney, the latest on Rashee Rice. And of course, Rashee Rice, already, back with, the guys down in Texas working out and stuff. So a lot of stuff to be talked about on that end. And our guy, Jason, will be, is coming on here now. What's up, JD? Hey, brother.
What's going on, brother? What's happening?
Nothing much. I'm just giving a kind of the introduction of what we're going to be talking about on the show tonight. Just a little bit about what Andy talked about at the presser. Kadarius Toney updates. Rashee Rice back on the training fields with Mahomes and the fellas down in Texas. And obviously Mahomes is featuring Time Magazine. It's pretty sweet, JD. That's what you know. With the Chiefs have a guy. You know, it's not Sports Illustrated. It's Time Magazine we're talking about here.
Yeah. Pretty special. I thought you was giving a show with your guns out. I'm like, uh-oh, Marcus. Getting a little taste of the, you know,
gotcha, baby.
Going on. Yeah.
I literally just got back from the gym. And I didn't have time to change. I'll also repping my 76ers so that we're playing tonight. So repping our guys. Yeah. What's that?
Who they have tonight?
They're playing the Miami Heat. We're down 37-30 as of right now. So yeah, not good. We have like 12 turnovers in the first half, and we're only within 7 points. So I feel good about the night. So hopefully, by the time we're off the show, we're gonna make a second half rally. So,
all right, cool. John, Andrea, Lego, my ego, Donna, G Pick. About time. What's going on, Maria? What's going on, everybody? How y'all doing this wonderful evening? Good to see you all. Charles Driver, I'm the Brown is in here already, my man.
Packed house
good
tonight.
See you. Yeah, we're going to get into some good stuff tonight, man. It's going to be a good conversation. I can't wait to hear everybody's conversation about what they think about all the things going on right now in the Chiefs Kingdom. So,
yep. So you want to let's get started with some of the current events going on in Chiefs Kingdom. Obviously, we've been doing a good job trying to keep you guys updated with draft stuff over the last few weeks. And, you know, we usually like the midweek shows, usually kind of a highlight of all that's going on in the Chiefs world draft stuff. We'll do on Mondays and, you know, then obviously when draft comes around, but we're kind of dig in here, JD, Rashee Rice back, baby. So, kind of give you the update since the first story came out a couple weeks back. We've been trying to update you guys on the latest, everything that's been going on. So since our last show, more news has emerged. Rashee Rice is being sued for more than $10 million for damages from people who say they were severely injured in the multi-vehicle crash last month. But this pretty much changes nothing with his standing on the team as of right now. As I said, he's back with the guys in Texas. He's posting videos of working out with them. And I think it's a pretty good thing to kind of get with the teammates, kind of lock in on training for the season. Rice joined his teammates Monday for the start of the Chiefs voluntary offseason program. He participated in meetings via video conference that were led by coaches. And Andy Reid had this to say about Rashee Rice. quote, as we've done in the past, we'll just wait for the law enforcement part of it to take place, and then we'll go from there. I have had an opportunity to talk to Rashee. I'm not going to obviously get into all of that. As long as he's learned from it, that's the important part of it. The Chiefs will have their first voluntary off-season practice at their training facility on May 20th. Reed said he was not sure if Rice would be with his teammates that day. His quote on that, we're just going to take it day by day. We'll just see how it goes. I want to keep gathering information from law enforcement people and see where everything goes. So, JD, obviously I'm just curious what you think about what Andy said about the situation, what you're seeing that Rice is now back with the fellas, back in training in Texas and stuff, which I think is a great thing that he's back with, you know, kind of locked in to you know, his thing on the field. So what do you kind of make of the latest developments on Rashee Rice?
What do I think about it? I do believe that Rashee Rice has to get some type of normalcy back in his life. I think from this traumatic experience that he's experienced and the people that were involved experienced, that it's very important to get into some type of routine, things that you may were doing before this the event happened, to kind of settle your mind, get yourself back somewhat balanced, right? Mentally and physically, emotionally, spiritually, all things. And so this is a positive thing. This is a positive thing. Obviously, considering all the events that happened with Rashee Rice, some people do kind of want the punishment and, hey, we want him to, you know, start right now. And I don't want you playing all season. I don't want your life to do anything except be punished at this moment. I've heard some people say things like that. He's not going to learn his lesson. They call him privileged and all these different things. And, you know, laws don't apply to these guys, right? But I think people fail to understand, some people, the ones that say things like that, fail to understand that, you know, somebody's in pain right now because of this event. He's, you know, showing a lot of contrition. He's showing the softness, the understanding, the awareness of trying to make amends. So it's important that he, like I said, starts to, you know, get something back therapeutically to kind of help him out. I'm not saying get his mind off of, but also to a good distraction, things like, hey, life does go on, right? We know that you are solemn. We understand that you are very apologetic, but your life doesn't stop right now. And it's important that you understand your life doesn't stop right now. You going in a corner and retreating and all of this is not going to help the situation, not going to help you. The damage has been done. But this is a case that you have a guy that comes back so the team can love on it. Who, you know, who's loving on him? You know, guys seeing him. He sees his guys. Guys are supporting. And they'll get on him like, hey, man, you know, it was a stupid deal. But we just not going to let you go like that. And so I think for me, that's so important. And Andy said the thing, kind of follow up what he was talking about is, listen, everything is going to take care of itself. We wait for everything to come out, get all the details of whatnot, let the police investigation end up, you know, once it finishes, we'll get more detail as far as like what's going to end up happening with Rashee, and we'll move from there. We'll move from there. And like you said, he's had I'm telling you, full conversation. All of them had, not Andy, but, you know, I'm sure Clark, Donovan, everybody is, you know, wide receiver coach, tech, all the coaches probably talked to, whoever was around him, you know, at least at the time, probably, you know, reached out to say, hey, man, you know, it's important that you know that you do have people that do value you and people that do support you, but we also hold you accountable for something you did wrong. So I think Andy is taking an approach that he should take anytime things like this do happen, especially when an investigation is going on. You just got to let it all play out.
And I think a positive, too, is the fact that he's with the guy. He's with a bunch of guys with a common goal. Obviously, you know, all these guys, you know, they just, a lot of these guys just met, right, like, over the last year, and, you know, because of brotherhood. But you have your extra, you have your friends outside of it. But when you're getting in trouble, you know, outside of that, you know, with your friends, it's good to kind of be back with your teammates where it's kind of like you have a common goal. And the common goal is, you know, obviously you guys have fun, but like the common goal is, you know, to train together, win games together. So getting back to like that camaraderie with his teammates on the field in Texas, I think that's a good too. And to be with a bunch of guys who are like, you know, like mine, have the same kind of goals and stuff. And also too, you know, you're with Patrick Mahomes, you're with the face of the NFL right now. And he said, and I think Patrick Mahomes also said he talked to him about it, and he's kind of been with him throughout the process and stuff. We're going to continue to be throughout the process together. So like having that person with you is, it's a good person to have with you in a time like this for Rasheed.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, it doesn't even matter if it's the face of the NFL or not. Just your brother, really. The guy that battles with you. And so just having that is highly important. He can do anything, and it doesn't matter who it is. As long as you have support on him and it's sincere, which I know Patrick is, right? Patrick just happens to be the guy on Time Magazine, happens to be the face of the NFL. But Rasheed Rice is not looking at him for that value. He's looking at him value as a friend, more so than anything else, right? And, I mean, that's the way it should be, especially if Patrick was the one that kind of sought him out. So, obviously, Patrick seen something in him, probably good character. Rasheed doesn't seem like he's a bad guy at all, right? And sometimes bad things happen to good people,
yep.
Right? We have no indication, we haven't heard any history that he is a terror or is he a bad guy in any type of way or fashion. So, when something bad does happen, he's going to be chastised for it. Hey, man, shoot, let's pick him up. Let's pick this guy up. Everybody's worth saving. And sometimes, in this society, sometimes some people don't feel that way. Some people feel like, you know, you need the book thrown at you, which, you know, look, let the punishment fit the crime. No doubt about it, right? And nobody's absolving him from those things. But also, too, you're saying, look, man, like I said, we don't want you wallowing in pain and misery, okay? You got a life to live. Right? You have to. So, yeah, that's important. So regardless if it's Patrick or Travis or any of the wide receivers, you know, shoot, let it be a dude that people don't really like as much. If people fuss about Kadarius Toney, let it be Kadarius Toney. Hey, man, look, you know, sometimes you got to learn them lessons, whatever it may be. I'm just saying, right? And it's good because people learn at different times and maybe when you go through certain adversity, people learn together. So maybe it's something, man, the guys just need to pick each other up, man. So that's how it's very important. Very, very, very important.
Yeah. Yeah, and seeing the videos that today of him being back out there was just, it was good to see because obviously going through rough times like this, you know, people always say when you are going through rough times, they always say, you know, go to the gym, kind of work it off, right? Go, you know, exert that. And so like, and I don't know if he's been working out for the last 2 weeks since this whole thing happened. Maybe not. I mean, obviously, I've never been in the situation before, so yeah, I don't know the pressure he's had on him, but it's good to kind of see him out and about again with the guys, you know. Because, I mean, beginning of the offseason, man, him and Hollywood Brown were working out with each other before all this madness happened. And then, you know, like, and then this thing happens, like, oh, man, oh, no. And then, like, you know, seeing him back out, there's just good. That camaraderie aspect, too, well, it's uplifting, right, JD?
That's right. It is. It's very uplifting. And so it obviously, this tragic derailed the relationship and rapport that you was building, right? Pick up where it left off, okay? You know your brother is hurting. Hollywood Brown is a new brother to you. You know, pick him up. Talk with one another. It's very important to have these conversations. So we that's got to be encouraging. It's encouraging for us to hear, but we got to encourage him also to get back on track.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I knew we had to update you guys on the Rasheed Rice thing, you know, because, I mean, again, it's an evolving situation. Andy Reid even said it, too. Like, you know, as more information comes out, we'll deal with it as it comes along. But right now, you know, he's attending the voluntary stuff, and he's with Pat and those guys. So,
right.
Yeah. All right. So, JD, you mentioned Kadarius Toney, and that's something else we talked about last week. You know, he was back at the with Pat and those guys training. I mean, it's all speculation that he could be gone. Andy Reid and Pat both spoke about Kadarius being back down with the guys. Andy Reid said, Kadarius is arguably one of the most talented guys we have on the team. It's just a matter of staying healthy and being able to stay on the field. You always hear about the reliability, accountability, all those things that go into it. So I'm expecting him to come back ripping and ready to go.
This is Andy talking?
That's Andy talking, yeah.
Okay, start over again. Okay, go ahead.
So Kadarius is arguably one of the most talented guys we have on the team. It's just a matter of staying healthy and being able to stay on the field. You always hear about the reliability, accountability, all of those things that go into it. So I'm expecting him to come back ripping and ready to go. And Pat also made mention of Kadarius and Sky's presence with all the other guys at Texas. Quote, I always enjoy guys like Sky and Kadarius, guys that are teaching too at the same time. I think it's a healthy competition. That's what you want on any team, and I think we have a great team for it. So, JD, there's been a lot of people saying what Andy said was kind of, saying he's one of the more most explosive guys or talented guys on the team. A lot of people are saying, is he just trying to, like, up his trade bait right there? He's trying to say, okay, up his trade value. You know, we don't have any problems with Kadarius. He's great, one of the most explosive guys on the team. Or do you tend to agree with Andy that Kadarius does bring that to the table in this squad?
Yeah, I mean, Kadarius Toney definitely brings that to the squad. But we understand his ability when he got here, sitting in college, when he was at Florida. So we know he has the ability. We know he's very athletic, very fast. I mean, he runs routes hard, man. He gets open. He can do a lot of different things on the football field. Does it discount that they might want to increase his trade value? Sure. I mean, I think you could do both, right? Just in case something comes up, if a team wants to become that. But Andy then may feel like, hey, man, look, this is the guy for us. Let's just say because of this Rashid Rice situation, they're sitting there saying, look, Kadarius Toney, what we might have been thinking about possibly trading him or what we were going to do with him, this kind of forced our hand a little bit. And consideration for Kadarius. It could. I'm just saying. I'm just speculating. I don't know. But I know that all these thoughts are probably coming up, especially when people were talking about that, you know, Kadarius might have said this, might have said that. You know, we don't know the validity of these videos or whatever. I think he said, like, I could have upset about some things, but, you know, whatever, man. Guys get upset, too. That's what happens sometimes. And this league, it gets you upset, believe me. Sometimes you may not feel like things is fair. Sometimes you feel like you might not got what you wanted. But Kadarius is all those things. He is. He's a very talented receiver. It is about his, you know, availability. It is about his durability. Can he stay on the field? It was unfortunate that he was hurt coming into training camp or got hurt in training camp, and he had to come back the very first game of the season. And I think that put him behind the eight ball a little bit, right? Sometimes when your body's just not feeling right when you start now, you know, that could be really a recipe for disaster. And he had just had a bad year just over the course of it. Obviously, the other people know all the things that happened with him, you know, the offsides and all those. So hopefully he's moved past that point. He's there. And I think it's taking steps. That's what you got to do, man. You got to take steps, you know, to try to get yourself back on track. And so, yeah, let me go down here with Pat, work out with these guys. So show everybody what I can still do. Patrick knows what he can do. Andy knows what he can do. So he can be a weapon. He can. I don't think nobody discounts that, man. I think some people are just, they don't have the patience. Okay. And they like Amber Brown said, is he ready to cut ties with someone? I don't know. Andy is a player's coach. It takes a lot for him to cut ties with someone, especially when they can add value to the team. Yes. But also, too, Andy understands that, you know, sometimes your value isn't necessarily what you do on the field. It's what you do off the field, what you bring to the entire team, the entire organization. And if guys, don't take value in that and stock in it, Andy has no problem cutting ties. Andy's a shark like everybody else out there as a coach. But he is a player's coach. I agree with John DeBrown. He is. He's patient. He is very, very patient. You had to do something really, you know what I mean? To Andy, like, you just say, hey, man, we can't deal with that, right? I'm not going to be able to do it. I mean, cut ties with Kareem Hunt. We remember that, right?
Yeah.
So nobody's above the blade or the knife or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, well, I remember there was a whole thing when they cut Jeremy Maclin. He was pissed off because that Dorsey did it without even talking to him about that. He was really pissed off about this. I mean, he is rare. I mean, you played under him for a little bit, JD. I mean, he is one of those guys who is very tight-knit with his players and stuff. Obviously, you know, coaches may like guys more than other guys, But for the most part of it, from everything that I've read and stuff, he's pretty like one of those guys. He dies on the hill of his players, and you have to do something really, really bad for him to cut ties with you. That's kind of what the spec, what everyone always says about Andy Reid.
Hey, look, I got released under Andy, so I know Andy. You know, he's a business guy. He's a coach, and sometimes, you know, if they look at directions to go, that's how it works in the NFL. So. Yeah. I always said this, and I keep saying it and keep saying it so people understand. The NFL does not need anyone. They can have guys, certain guys, if you have issues and a problem or whatnot. Teams, they don't need you. They can move on. We see this wide receiver class, whatever class it may be, corners. Every single year there's going to be new guys coming in. That's the way it works, right? And so – the turnover is crazy in the NFL. I mean, I've been there when I've been in the locker room, and there's a new guy every week. I've seen that. I was in Philly. I'm just like, wow. Like, this dude, man, he was just here. Just putting his stuff in. You know, you gave him he gave you your phone number and your handshake. The next thing you know, he's gone.
Yeah. So, the transfer you see the most when your team signs a guy, then 4 days later he's gone. I said, wait, what? We just literally just brought him in a couple days ago. I remember Bobby Scipio came and he was gone like a week later.
Gone. I'm telling you, it's NFL, man. Like I said, Donna said, football is a business, without a doubt. And like in any type of business, there is cutthroat in the business. Sometimes there's bad business. So that's just, we can be truthful about that, right?
Yeah.
So Andy ain't no different now. He let a sucker go now. Believe
me. Yeah. One of the things I did want to kind of address here is we've talked about the need for having a veteran presence on the team. Mm-hmm. And Pat kind of mentioning the fact that having Sky and Kadarius, obviously, you know, they've been in the offense, so they are able to teach guys. So what do you make of him saying the aspect of having Kadarius and Sky, they're teaching too at the same time as competing? There's two guys who have been in the offense, right? But yeah. Also, so they could obviously teach from that like standpoint and those kind of things and different nuances in the offense and stuff. But like, I think this kind of highlights the fact that like these two are veteran guys in that locker room, the two elder statesmen, and these guys are young bucks. So it's for me, when I saw that, I was like, man, that really reemphasized the fact that we still need a veteran presence. And even though you and I love this rookie receiver class, we hope to draft maybe one or two of those guys. It's still, for me, when I read this, wow, man, it's really reemphasizes the fact that we still need to sign a veteran guy who's been out there. I mean, who's been there before, regardless of being in our room before, but having a veteran, because like Kadarius and Sky are vets. You know, it's kind of wild to think about.
Well, I mean, it's always good to have somebody with some depth of knowledge, and character, experience. That can really teach these young guys how to be, how to carry yourself, what to do, communicate. All those things are important. And so that's what you get with a veteran player. You buy that experience. That's what you do. And so then you do have like Hollywood Brown, who's only been, he's a young buck too. Everybody's a young guy. And so it's good for somebody to come in with maybe a vintage car, you know, like, I don't know, what would be the epitome of somebody older, right? Vintage car coming in, and he's coming in with his suit, like a briefcase. I remember guys just come in with their briefcase every day because they took it as a business and a job. That's what they did. So, having a veteran presence in that room, man, come on, that'd change everything. It changed everything. But it's got to be the right guy. Got to be the right vet. So,
But when you hear that statement though, does that like reemphasize like, man, like these are like our elder statesmen in the room? It's like, geez, like
I think when he was saying that, I think he was talking more on personality. I think he was learning a little bit more deeply about who these two guys were, what they talked about, life experiences and whatnot. Sometimes, man, you get caught up in the season, and you're in your room, you're in your space. Until you really get off, some like talking to the guys, like, yeah, man, like, you know, where you come from, which, you know, all those different things. Start learning a little bit more about life. And so you have different personalities. You know, guys have characteristics. When I'm saying that everybody has depth and a level to them, we all have layers. We all have layers. So I think Patrick's learning a whole lot about their layers. Maybe they're asking him. He's like, wow, okay. know, because sometimes you have a guy doing off season and you realize the sucker's been reading Shakespeare and wrote 12 poems. For real. It's like, hey, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it takes time for guys to open up to each other too. I mean, it's just like working in an office building. It's like any workplace. Sometimes it takes a while for guys to open up to you, you know?
Yeah, right. Somebody's like, man, I've been going to get my master's. I got two right now. What? Like, yeah, been doing it all off season. Or, you know, I've been traveling to Tibet, you know, doing a couple of adventures. Like, you start learning about guys. And so it's always interesting when you hear these things and what guys are doing with their time, like off season. So maybe it's what Pat is talking about. I think that's more so like what you're talking about. But yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. So, you know, when you get in a conversation with someone, it's like, oh yeah, I speak Mandarin and you know, Arabic. Like, wait, what? You speak like four languages? Oh man, that's crazy. You know, like, it's stuff like that, you know, that maybe guys weren't confident enough to like come talk to you about their everyday life. And now, you know, year two, they can actually speak to you about it. And so they feel more confident, open themselves up to you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Nah, that's that true facts right there, brother. I'm telling you, it's when you start finding out about guys. So
yeah. And it's nice that Pat has done this whole Texas thing for the last few years. Cause I mean, I honestly, it's still wild to me that other teams have not picked up on this, that we do these kind of voluntary things with Pat down in Texas. I'm surprised no other team has done this yet with Josh Allen, like bringing his guys there and stuff. And who knows, maybe Josh Allen did that. Maybe Diggs and them would still be there. They'd still have a good relationship, but yeah. It's really cool that we've been able to have to kind of grow these guys, even when the coaches aren't there to kind of grow together.
No, hey, no truer statement has been made. And that, because you could see it, how it translates into wins. You can see how it translates into being on the same page. And so we hope that continues. If these two guys are going to still be part of the team, contributing like we think they can, you know, it's going to be, you know, a huge benefit for us when that three-peat, right? Yeah. So,
I'm also curious to see after the draft, if we do draft a receiver, we hear, Jalen McMillan or Jalen Polk was at Texas working out with Pat. Oh, really? I didn't know that. And again, that's another thing that teams are not utilizing, the fact that they can work out with the receivers, learn kind of see different schemes that they can do with their quarterback. And if it works, it works. And last year we worked out with Zay Flowers, Quentin Johnson, and also Rashee Rice, and ending up drafting Rashee Rice because that was the one who worked best with Pat. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if that comes out about any receivers that we draft.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, JD. So I don't mean to pat myself on the back with this next topic here, but I'm going to, JD. Sticking with our pass catchers. So Hollywood Brown was probably our biggest offseason acquisition, other than retaining some of our guys, Chris Jones of the world and Drew Tranquil. And that was Hollywood Brown was one that I was sold on. I was on board with way before it went down. I said that the offense would unlock him in the way that he was utilized in college at Oklahoma, as opposed to his limiting role that he had in Baltimore and Arizona as like this deep threat. And to hear Patrick Mahomes this week agree with me, pretty much say what I said all along, JD, about the Hollywood Browns coming to Kansas City. It was nice to hear. You know, I think Pat definitely listens to us and sees our tweets. He watches our shows. He must after hearing this. So Patrick Mahomes quote said, "Hollywood, I think you obviously see the speed. You see the speed instantly. But I think what I like so far is how hard he works. He's been at all the workouts and the route running, and he wants more. He wants to continue to push himself more and more. I think he'll have a great role in this offense, the way he's able to run routes, the way he's able to stretch the field. I think it'll be even different than you've seen him before, because I think we can utilize him in different ways that I think he hasn't been utilized in yet." So, JD, I said that we could be seeing kind of this Hollywood Brown that we haven't seen since his college days, because he really hasn't been able to kind of showcase his true talents. And I said we could unlock his talents. So, JD, do you think, after hearing what Pat said, do you think we actually may see probably like the unlocking of the Hollywood Brown, the guy that was supposed to be this breakout receiver coming out of Oklahoma this year in this offense?
He can have a successful campaign here. Unlocking his potential. Obviously, was disappointing him being out there in Arizona. I think he had some really good years up in Baltimore, but he is definitely going to be able to come here because of Andy and his creativity, going to do a whole lot of different things that he did at other two places, right? And so I do believe this is going to be a very, very exciting season. I do. That still remains to be seen of what that's actually going to be, right? So look at route combinations and stuff like that. I mean, you really, maybe some reverses, hitches, you know, and like I said, it's going to be Andy's creativity. So we'll just have to see, man. We'll just have to see. I think he's just going to be able to do, you know, what he's been able to do. A couple of deeper routes, maybe some, you know, trick plays. That's true. Yeah, I don't disagree with that whatsoever. I guess the reason I'm listening to this is we've seen what Hollywood Brown can do. I mean, I don't know what else secret wise we're gonna be able to see from him as far as unlocking him.
I would say this because we've talked about how that Ravens offense, I mean, Greg Roman's offense, right? They get rid of him and the offense kind of looks a little bit different. They're actually utilizing, say, Flowers in different ways. Whereas Hollywood was pretty much relegated to just being a deep threat. He was a first round pick. You can find deep threats later on in the draft. Hollywood was a little bit of everything at Oklahoma. You know, he was a jet sweep guy. He was catching hitches. He was running, doing rub routes. He was doing all types of things that when he went to Baltimore, really wasn't being utilized more than just a kind of a nine route guy. And I think that when Arizona, it was very tough to see what he could do because, I mean, they had a different quarterback every other week after Kyler got hurt between Colt McCoy, Toon, or some of the other guys they had, Trace McSorley. I mean, so many guys they had, we never actually got to see what Hollywood Brown could do in Arizona. So now having him come over here, and he said it's like he's only been seen as a D threat, and I think he's way more than that. And that's the reason why we wanted him coming out of that draft that year when he came out. And let me ask you this. So, like, I know – can't really compare guys like Tyreek Hill is kind of out of this world, but of all the receivers we've seen in Kansas City, do you think he'll be utilized more in that? Like, this will be the most similar we've seen to Tyreek Hill since Tyreek Hill's gone with a guy like that?
Yeah, definitely. Without a doubt. We'll concentrate to get the ball to him. There have been plays we set up so he touches the ball. Majority of things that we're doing. I think I've seen him run everything in a route tree. I mean, rub routes is a rub route. You know, comebacks, we don't do too much of that. We can do that with him. You know, just get into seams, get into windows, catching the football and get up the field. Wide receiver screens, absolutely. I think we do a much better job than everybody else in the league as far as setting those up, how they look. Very clever on doing that. So, yeah, he's a deep threat, but man, he's got tremendous quickness. You know, just watching him in route, you know, like I said, in the practices and stuff, I think, we're just going to get him the football. He's a player. He's a baller. So that's what you do. You feature this guy. Feature, like you said, we brought him in for a reason because we know what he can do, right? So clever ways, scheming it up to get him the ball, I think, is what more so I'm thinking that's how they talk about, right? So if you got a guy and you know what he can do, like we know what he can do, we're going to exploit it. We're just going to make sure we're going to do a lot more of it, right? So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And what have you seen? Because one of the things everyone's standing that's it's like they haven't watched Hollywood Brown like play before, but everyone's like, oh man, he looks so quick and breaking out his routes and the stuff that he's been doing in Texas. And I was like, no, that's kind of what he's always looked like that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So that's why I guess maybe for me, how I'm hearing it, right? Like unlocking him and stuff like that, like his potential. I'm like, shoot, we know who Hollywood Brown is. We know his skill set. So that's the reason you get him here. You know, so yeah, I mean, ran heavy offense his entire career. I mean, they fed him a little bit up there. He became the guy up there in Baltimore because you didn't really have anybody else except Andrews. So we'll see. I keep saying this because we do have a Travis Kelce. Trav's going to get the ball too. He's going to get the ball around. Pacheco's going to get the ball too. And as he should, you know, I like balanced offenses. I know we pass work first sometimes to get us in troubles in situations. So you got to be methodical what you're doing, no doubt about it. But we are, Andy is scheming up different ways to hide him, to get him catches, right? And I think that's what Andy does a good job as far as like how he divides the field up for guys to be in certain areas. That's his skill set. So yeah, it's gonna be exciting to see him get the ball, man. When he get the ball, I just want to see his quickness, his speed, escapability, you know, maybe break some tackles, break some ankles. Shoot. More so, man, I want to see him in that touchdown in that zone. Yeah. Right? Strike the band up, baby. That's all I want to see. That's all I want to see. So we know what we got. We know what we got.
Yeah. Well, it's just crazy how many people were so like, did not want him at all. It's like, well, I don't understand why not. We haven't had a guy that can hit his head on a goalpost in such a long time. Like, yeah, MVS is supposed to be that, a version of that, but we're going to get a guy who's way more dynamic than MVS has ever displayed.
It's schemes. You know, every offense is not schemed for certain guys and certain body types. Every offensive coordinator is different, how they want to be able to attack defenses. And maybe some guys are like, hey, he's okay for us. We got guys can do things like this. Our main guy is going to be the one we throwing on to the outside. Could do, you know, maybe going up and get the football a little bit more. So that's the reason. And no telling what else they probably heard. You know, that could be rumors or whatever that you think. If a guy didn't work hard, is he get hurt? No, he has some injuries, right, in the past. The teams could have been, you know, a little hesitant on, you know, trying to sign him. So I think that's the main thing. And I think somebody said in here in the chat that, you know, this could be a great place to resurrect a career that seemed like it was kind of stalling out, or at least, you know, just hadn't been going anywhere. It's just staying consistent, especially when you've seen his potential to be one of the top receivers in the game, right, in the NFL. So, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, do you think not having Rice there would negatively impact him? Obviously, it's another guy that takes a little, like, kind of pressure off him, but, I mean, we still have Kelce in the middle of the field, so I still think it's going to be tough.
Shoot, man. If you get some good guys in the draft, this is where you're talking about Kadarius Toney. Andy can put these guys in position, man, to be successful, right? I told you that I felt like we kind of hamstrung the things that Rashee Rice could do last year. Okay, he has so much more potential to open some things up. We get the ball and hey, you can go run 5-10 yards on a screen route. Shoot, I want to see a sucker go up over somebody, throw the ball deep on Rashee Rice. Mm-hmm. Strong hands he's got, big body he's got. So if you paired Hollywood Brown with somebody, you know, like you said, Travis is out there, man. But the way this draft is going to go, and I'm pushing for it, I hope we do get two receivers early. That's what I want. I would like to have it. So what does that early mean? Is it a first or a second or fourth or whatever? It works, but there's some talented guys out here that can move. I'm gonna be excited. Definitely going to be excited.
Yeah, it's gonna be really exciting to have like a home run hitter like that now. A guy who can like come out there, you can do a one play 75 yard bomb out there with Hollywood. We haven't had that in a few years, man.
So like Cameron Johnson said, he's gonna find open spaces in mid routes. Yep, deep threats is there, of course, absolutely. I think he'll run routes here. He's never run in the NFL. Potentially. Most guys have ran routes. I know sometimes from guys from college who hadn't really had an extensive route tree, right? Then that hurts them. That absolutely hurts them. And I know Arizona, they try to do some things with that. You just didn't have anybody facilitate the ball to him. That's a problem, right? So I think that their offense was kind of geared toward that way to kind of do some things with Hollywood Brown. and shoot, you ain't got a guy to throw the ball to you. It don't even matter who it is. So, yeah, I think, man, Hollywood, he's gonna get some routes, man. We gonna use it. We gonna use a lot of them legs a little bit. Okay, get him going.
And I think someone made the point of having consistent quarterback play. Obviously, he had that in Baltimore, but I mean, the offense itself was just more of a limiting offense. They were passing like 16 times a game with Lamar's first couple seasons. But then, you know, you have you go to Kyler Murray, which is great. Supposed to be a match made in heaven. That was his quarterback in college. And then he gets hurt, and he's got Colt McCoy. He's got guys who are limiting. Patrick's going to get – I mean, if you're open, Patrick's going to get it to you. You know,
he'll get the ball to you, man.
So, yeah, it's going to be really fun to see him in this offense, especially, too, because it's that air raid, hybrid, West Coast kind of thing that we got, and that's, yeah, you know, where he comes from, where that's where he found the most success in his college days.
Mm-hmm. Scott, appreciate it, throwing us some ducats this way. And Scott said, I say we trade up and get Bowers, let him learn under Kelsey before he retires, continue the Casey tradition of beast tight ends.
That's what you want.
100%. That's exactly where I'm at. I said if we move up for a guy, without a doubt, Brock Bowers would be the guy to move up for. Okay. We don't know. That I said he kills two birds in one stone. You give a legit guy who could be like a wide receiver and then tight end because he's there, man. He could learn everything on the Kelsey. Having those two guys out on the field. And Hollywood Brown.
And Rice when he comes back.
Rice comes back. My goodness. Get somebody else, another wide receiver. Like Kadarius. Ed is going to have some really, really, really good weapons around him. At the end of the day, I think it's gonna come out perfect for the Chiefs. Everybody's going to be upset. Surprised and pleased.
On the draft show this week, you said, or draft crush show, you said that you'd want Brock Bowers, but you trade up for him and stuff. Obviously, the price was right, but I think I was looking at NFL.com. They released their mock draft today, mm-hmm. and apparently they had a trade that was with the Chicago Bears. We traded our 32nd pick, I think, our third round pick, and like 2 fourths over the next 2 years to go up to the 9th pick overall. And that was to get, they said it was either to get Odunze or Brock Bowers at number 9, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's the one you shared. Was that the one did you share it to?
No, the one I shared on Twitter was the, what's his name? Peter Schrager, who said to get Jalen Polk in round 1.
Oh.
Which you had him as a round 2 guy.
Yeah, I had a round 2 guy. Yeah, I thought you shared one that was showing he was that whole Bears thing. But what they wanted, come on, man. Too expensive. We ain't doing that.
Yeah.
No way. That when it's not even tenable, like, dude, we're not going to give up that many picks for this guy, okay? We'll just wait. We'll wait. We'll find somebody else. We've got reliable guys. We'll stay with our pick. You make it something where we all benefit, sure, why not? But
and Chicago just got our guy Ted Cruz, yeah, your boy, or head of like PR or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. He just went to Chicago. I think he got a promotion.
What?
Yeah, yeah. So maybe they're cooking up some trade. We get their second first round pick. You know, we give him Ted Cruz. We can get their.
Yeah, I'm going to reach out to Ted, man. Tell him congratulations. So it just happened?
Yeah, today, like earlier on, Adam Schefter reported it. So interesting thing for Schefter to report, but yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Yeah,
I talked about Ted today, matter of fact.
Yeah.
Good dude. Really good dude.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to get our final topic here. We mentioned it. Patrick Mahomes in the cover of Time Magazine. And in this, it's a really good interview, so you guys should go read it. The Q&A there is awesome. You get to learn a lot about Patrick Mahomes that, you know, we pretty much know a lot about Patrick Mahomes, but you get to know a little bit behind the guy, Patrick Mahomes in this article. But in this interview, he talks about being the GOAT, and he talks about how he's nowhere near GOAT status, which, depending on how you look at it, and, you know, I think most of us will say he's the GOAT already, but it's good. It shows how his drive and his yearning to be the best. So he talks about in the article, quote, "You have to build a consistency of a career. You see that in any sport. I've had a great run. I think I've done a great job so far, but it's hard to take away from what Tom did for so long, what Peyton Manning did, or Aaron Rodgers. I don't really, not Aaron Rodgers. There are so many guys, they were such at a high level for such a long time. In order to be in that conversation, you have to do that on a year-to-year basis. You can't take it for granted that you did it the year before, which I thought was awesome to hear, because, I mean, this guy is one of the most – what he's done already is a short amount of his career is second to none. Well, maybe Tom Brady. But as far as the other guys he named, I mean, Manning didn't win his first one for a while. Aaron Rodgers only won one, so I think he's already surpassed Aaron Rodgers. I think it's a respect thing for him saying that. But, J.D., are you in agreement? Is Pat the GOAT? Yeah, we had this conversation, I think, when we first started the show about three or four years ago, that is he trending in the GOAT direction? Honestly, but two rings later since that first initial GOAT conversation we had on this show, where do you stand on that now?
No, I mean, look, Patrick's going to go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. And so he is still building on his legacy. He's not the GOAT right now. We understand that's still held by Tom Brady, and rightfully so. The other guys, I think he pays homage to, okay, like a Peyton Manning. He understands the intricacies he brings to the table as far as quarterbacks. And so I don't think he wants to dispute any of those things, right? Because he feels a little bit of nostalgia, right? Aaron Rodgers, like you said, is the GOAT. Yeah, it's the goofiest old. I don't know what you say. What else? It's stupid, man. Yeah. Rodgers, look, and here's the thing. Patrick is so modest, so humble, that if he had any other thing besides that, I would be shocked. I would be surprised. I think this is an indication of greatness. I think Patrick understands how good he is. He understands that, how good he is. He strives to be the best, to become the best. And even if he was, he would probably still say, hey, you know what, guys? You know, golly shucks. You know, I'm just a good player, and I appreciate it to be considered in the same breath as these guys. I don't think any of the quarterbacks, most of them that I know, walk on their toes when they come into a building, okay? And they come into a restaurant and come into a home, but wherever you see a quarterback, you'll see his joker walk on his toes, because they the big cock of the town. That's why they come in, right? Rooster. And so that's and the thing is, there's nothing wrong with that. You just got to be able to back it up. Patrick Mahomes has the hardware. He has the body of work to absolutely show that he's legit. So That's my thing about it. That's where I'm at with it. Pat is just a great guy, great character. Now, like I said before, he knows exactly how good he is. He knows that. But he's not going to let that arrogance take him somewhere else. I think it's what ended up happening with Aaron Rodgers. And all of a sudden, he had to have this and all of that, and now he's the smartest guy in the world, right? He's got everything figured out with all these conspiracy theories and whatnot, and he's
a doctor now.
Yeah, so... Not that he can't learn on certain things, but it's just from where he's shifted the past few years, it's like, okay, like nobody can tell him anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's also true what you were saying about the nostalgia aspect. Like, these are the guys you grew up watching, Brady, Manning, yeah. Rodgers. It's like, you know, I'm sure, you know, the guys of your generation, you would say a Joe Montana is up there, you know. And obviously, and it's funny, Pat, it just shows how young he is. He didn't mention, you know, Montana, right? He's mentioning Brady, Manning, the guys he grew up watching. It's like, you know, the Jordan LeBron debate. All the guys say, oh, they grew up watching Jordan. That's their GOAT of all. That's their GOAT. Yeah. People nowadays say LeBron. So it's interesting in that respect. His list, you wouldn't have that as your what is your top three QBs of all time?
Excluding Pat. My top three would probably be Tom, Peyton, and probably Joe. That'd be my three. So,
and Peyton, obviously, the hardware wise, he doesn't really have the hardware as far as rings wise. But you got to see him play live and in person. And was that one thing that take you when you watched him play in person? Was like, damn, like this guy is legit.
Yeah, he and maybe where some of his deficiencies were. you couldn't really see him because he was so good at hiding him, how he would manipulate what he needed to do, get the ball there, knowing where guys was going to be at certain spots, just on the same page, and the way he was able to communicate to everybody what he was doing. So that's why I like Peyton a lot. You know, like I said, just watching and playing against him. There's a lot of great quarterbacks out there. But I think because of the three and what they brought to that position is my three guys. So.
Yeah. And you also got to play Brady up and close and in person too. Was that, because I mean, Tom, in the early part of his career, like before he really, before they kind of changed up the offense where the team wasn't defensive oriented, it was, he was kind of just kind of like, remember they used to say he was a system quarterback. And then once like he kind of like, they kind of expanded the offensive side of things. And it was like, oh, then we saw a different side of Brady. In your early years of Brady, were you wowed by him at all? Cause that was something that, no.
Not at all. To be honest with you, I don't even know when it just wowed, except this guy just kept winning.
Yeah.
Just kept winning. So you can't take anything away from a guy, man, who's just winning, who has the hunger to be a champion, you know, to be great. And so you see what drove him was that chip on the shoulder of feeling like he wasn't good enough, right? And still trying to get there with it. So a lot of respect for Tom, what he's been able to accomplish, but I don't think anybody can take away from his accomplishments at all. And I think a lot of it goes to, like, championships. Because I know, like, John is saying, Roger Staubach, Dan Marino, Pat Mahomes. Dan has a lot of talent on him. Doesn't have know-how-where at all to show for any of it. Has some great wide receivers around him. Good running back. No rings. So it's always a conversation. My nephew, he loves Dan Marino. He's a big Dan Marino guy. We know Dan had a huge arm. That's the thing about it. The other intangibles and stuff to win, to put guys together, put them in the same position where they need to win and go back, I think that's when you start certain guys excel, right? And so I think that's what Tom was able to do. He had a good defense around him. That's how this – so it's like Terry Bradshaw. You know, I watched a little bit of Bradshaw. Terry, because he, you know, the defense that the steel curtain was known. So that I think that's with Terry that he was able to, you know, to get a lot of his legacy based off of the team in itself. Not saying that Tom, because Tom had some good defenses around him to win championships too.
Oh yeah.
Right? Let's just be, we're going to be truthful on it, and Tom will tell you the same thing. So when he didn't have top defenses, you know, he struggled. But when them jokers was humming defensively, they were humming.
Yeah.
And so that took QB, the defenses, and the head coach put all that stuff together. When you have that, when you have a good mix, that's what ends up happening. Same thing when you look at San Fran with Joe Montana, at least for me, you know, here you got Bill Walsh and those guys, and then you got Joe Montana, good receivers, good defense, you had good running back, tight end. I mean, you know, you have to have a good mix to win. I would say the same thing with the Chiefs. When the Chiefs were sitting over here, you got Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, good receiver, tight end, got a pretty good defense, you know, that's holding up, good defensive coordinator, and these guys just win together. These guys went together. So that's why I look at sometimes talent, all those different things. John Elway. John Elway was an absolute beast out there on the field. Could throw the football. Heck of an athlete. Heck of an athlete.
But even them, you know, because Amda talks about Spygate with Brady. Even the Broncos, which is not talked about that much, is the whole scandal they had late 90s where they were paying dudes under the table and stuff. Which doesn't get talked about nearly enough, to be quite honest with you.
Well, I mean, paying guys under the table, man, is, I mean, shoot. I mean, what is that scandal itself? Don't take away from accomplishment.
No, true.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't take away from the accomplishment, right? So you get guys incentive, and you throw, you know, a little change or something a guy's way. You know, hey, you know, pat on the back, hey, you know.
Well, I mean, was that, I mean, you don't have to say this at all or anything, but like, was that a thing? Like, they just got caught? Was that something that a lot of teams were doing that you know, may not know? operating outside the salary cap?
No. If there was something that, let's just say that you had, I wouldn't say a bet on, but guys wanted to accomplish, right? Different incentives. And guys had put money in the pot, like to get something, right? Then that's a little extra change. That you can have. So it's you know, it's good little money. But the little challenges, that's all it is, little challenges amongst teammates.
Right.
Right. So I don't think an organization now, they're gonna count every little dollar they give you, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you've seen them suckers when if guys didn't make their incentive and didn't get the bonus. So
hey, we left Squiv Chris Jones there at the very end of that game to get that sack for that bonus.
Yeah, put him in. He's like, look, I ain't coming out. I don't care what you do, Andy. I'm not coming out. Andy's like, all right, you got one more chance. Chris would not came out of that game if he didn't get that. Not at all. He was gonna make it happen for sure. So that's for me.
Yeah. I still thought it was kind of odd for him to do that because, like, he knew he was going to get paid in the offseason. Why risk the extra? What was a $1 million bonus? Yeah, $1 million is a lot of money, but why risk it when you know you're going to get paid that money at the end of the season? But
Yeah.
John, I appreciate you, brother John.
Appreciate you, John, brother. Appreciate it. Some good questions out here, man. They're showing a lot of elite quarterbacks. It's been a lot of elite quarterbacks.
Yeah.
We had to say the pinnacle, the top ones of what guys do. That's what I said. You know, obviously Patrick, Brady, Montana, and Elway for me. Those guys. You know, we can name all the, Warren Moons. And man, there's been some fire tight quarterbacks out there. I like, Elway, and I like Dan Marino.
Plunkett, two rings. Another guy doesn't get talked about nearly enough. Tom Flores, too, a coach that doesn't get talked about nearly enough as well. So, like, yeah, that Raiders time of that Plunkett and Flores era, those are guys who don't get a lot of love. And, we're Chiefs guys, but still, I mean, and we're NFL aficionados on the show. So, yeah, I mean, Plunkett and Flores give that Raiders time a lot of love. And they don't get talked about it at all when they talk about quarterbacks with multiple rings. And I think I may be wrong about this. Plunkett may be one of the few quarterbacks who has two rings that's not in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, is really? Plunkett is not in?
He might be one of the few that has two Super Bowl rings, start two Super Bowls and one two Super Bowls and not in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Flores like just got in there like a couple of years ago, and he was one of the future coaches that had two rings and didn't get into the Hall of Fame up until about a couple of years ago. So,
yeah.
Which is crazy.
I thought he was in.
Yeah. And yeah, interesting because was he like a first overall pick? He was a Heisman quarterback or something. And, you know, he kind of had a rough start to his career and then he kind of went around the league a little bit and, you know, he hopped on with the Raiders and won two rings. Kind of like, you know, some might say if, you know, Baker Mayfield ends up winning a ring or two in Tampa, he could have like a similar Jim Plunkett story, JD.
Oh, yeah. So he's in the college Hall of Fame. So he still hasn't gotten into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah. I think him and Eli now are the only two to Eli just he's probably still like a year or two away from being in the to be able to vote on to get into the Hall of Fame. But I think Plunkett's still the only one of the quarterbacks, one of the few to win two and not get in.
Yeah.
Interesting. Ooh, look at G Pick. I would like to see a Mahomes versus Mayfield Super Bowl. Me too, G Pick. Me too, buddy.
Versus who?
Mahomes versus Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield? Absolutely not.
Come on, you don't want to see a little Texas Tech Oklahoma rivalry game in the Super Bowl, JD?
Nah, I care less.
One of the best college football games of all time is that Texas Tech Oklahoma game. One of the best. It was like a college basketball score, like 70 to like 66. Amazing game. I remember that game so vividly.
Baker Mayfield, give me a real quarterback, man. I want to see somebody out there that got some real skill. without busting the chops, man. But you know, Sucker Man, that Joker, man.
Hey, he resurrected his career this year. That win against Philly, man. That was, I didn't think he had it in him.
Look, he came into the organization Tampa like this. Get up. Pick you up for a contract. That's what he did. He got him. Looks like he got him again. Good for him. Not good for him. Good for Baker.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, we appreciate everyone chipping in with the show, chiming in with all your comments and stuff. Like this topic at the end about the kind of like the quarterback, bringing up the old quarterbacks and stuff. I love that stuff. Yeah. But yeah, love seeing everybody on here.
I'll tell you what. So I didn't really get to address this either at the very beginning, talking about Rashid Rice, was the money issue, right? The people having him having to pay the money to the people that are injured. And I'm going to say this. People are deserving of some type of restitution. I think he understands that. To be honest with you, I think he this may have gotten off easy. Because the thing is this, man. How do you put a price? And this is going to be the question. Nobody knows how to put a price on trauma. Nobody knows how to do, you know, somebody gets hit, you know, what they have to live with, maybe the injuries that come later on, you know, things you have to do. So I know I didn't get to address that. I know it was on my mind to say it, but I didn't get to. So I think it's good that they found some type of restitution to get together, maybe talk about these things. So and they'll probably settle out of court. It's just, you know, how these things happen. So, but I think Rashid Rice, man, is on a way to move forward, I think, from these things. And I'm happy to hear that. We just keep giving him the type of support and stuff like that that he needs. He's going to be all right. I think the Chiefs, the entire organization is going to be fine. But I'm looking forward, Marcus, to these next couple of weeks, man, going into this draft. It's going to be something excited, I think.
Yeah. And I want to make a quick note. We said it on one of our draft shows this week. We have a million shows next week with draft being here. So, guys, be ready for all the content we're going to be having next week. I think I counted like six or seven shows next week. So, be ready, guys. We're going to be coming at you guys with a lot of draft content next week. So, let's get after it, everybody.
Good deal. Yes, Donna, John, I'm DeBrown, Wendy. G Pitt, Charles Driver, all you fellas, the ladies, wonderful seeing y'all tonight. Always good talking to you all, having a conversation. We're always better for it. Thank you. Love you all. Y'all be good. Hope to see y'all soon. Scott, appreciate you also too, man. I can't run up and down on everybody, but everybody I see in there, try to holler at them. Appreciate each and every one. If we forgot anybody, love you too. Chris. G-Pick, all y'all guys, all right? Thanks, Marcus, man. Love you, brother.
Love you, brother. Hope everyone has a good rest of your week and have a good weekend. Take it easy, everybody.
All right.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.